This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on November 15, 2012. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Hello, the open meeting is back in session, and we will now consider a request for reconsideration of Advisory Opinion 2012-25. A little bit of background regarding this advisory opinion request. The Commission considered this request at the October 4th open meeting, and we told the requester that we were working on a compromise draft, and we hoped to get one to him. We said, alternatively, if we're not able to do a compromise draft, then what we could probably issue is some kind of what we call here a stripped-down version of an advisory opinion answer. So it would say yes, but for different reasons, or something along those lines, or just yes. As it turned out, after the open meeting, we were not able to come up with the compromise draft that we told requester we were trying to do, and similarly, we were not able to come up with the quote stripped down version. One of the reasons that I want to put this back on the agenda is because I think we left him with the impression that one or the other was going to happen, and so understandably, he got the letter on October 12th saying that the FEC was not able to issue an advisory opinion request, and he was probably confused. So then the requester sent in a letter on October 15th requesting reconsideration of the matter by the commission, stating in essence that that he would like the protection of an advisory opinion, which of course needs four votes, and he said it would be better to have something that stated that the commission wasn't able to agree on a single rationale. And he was okay with not having four or six votes for a single rationale. So following that letter, there were other conversations amongst commissioners, and we've been working with Commissioner Walther, and thank you for your time and effort to try to come up with something, Commissioner Walther. He put a draft blue last night, which I think we're calling draft C. And we were hoping that the requester might be able to.
I think we're up to D or E already.
The document is 12-69-C. That's the one that was made blue last night. I'm not sure what letter we're calling it, but we'll call it C just because that's what's at the top of the agenda document, 12-69-C.
There was a previous one.
Yeah, that's a trouble.
All right, we'll just call it 1269C. How's that? So that one went on the website last night, and Mr. Torchinski was not able to join us today. So we don't have the benefit of any comments from him on this draft. Apparently, he wasn't able to attend the open meeting today. So I think that another thing that we'd like to do is submit yet one more draft on this subject that incorporates some comments that some had on the draft 12-69C, with the hopes that we'll hear from the requester on whether that version, which he hasn't seen yet, but hopefully we'll see in the near future, whether that is more amenable to him than not having an advisory opinion at all. So hopefully we'll hear from him and perhaps take this up again in the future. Are there any questions or comments on the issue? Commissioner Walther?
Just a comment in the sense that maybe twofold. One, I didn't really consider it, even though it's entitled this agenda item, a motion for reconsideration, that exactly being one, because to my knowledge, there's no movement in connection with the drafts we've already voted on. And unless the those that voted for E want to consider modifying their position on that, I don't sense, and certainly on my own, that we would want to move to modify our position on D. And if he thinks from the conversation that we want to have a yes, that he's expecting a yes answer with different rationales, that's not what I see in the draft that I just went blue with. It is really a qualified yes, not a yes with different rationales. And so that should be made clear, and I didn't intend in that text at all to water down our position with respect to draft D. So I thought that maybe in view of his request, he wanted to give his client a little more security by being able to read one document than trying to make something out of two or maybe others, that this might be helpful. And since it seemed to be something you thought you'd like to try and take a stab at, my assistant, Rad Deutsch, began to prepare a draft, and that's basically what you're beginning to see here. So it wasn't clear to me what Mr. Trochinski was looking at, so I think we do need to get some feedback from him, and if you have another draft, that's fine with me. But I think it should be made clear that it wasn't an attempt to try and merge our thinking with respect to our respective positions, but rather just provide a single document that gives a little more clarity for somebody who wants to read where we've been on this.
Thank you. And as I said, I appreciate your efforts, and I think this document or some version of it does just that. It explains to the public sort of more carefully where the commissioners are without either side having to compromise their position. It's, in my view, far easier for the public to follow that kind of document than to have to go back and read separate drafts. And as we know from previous experience, sometimes those separate drafts get lost in the shuffle and people forget that commissioners had different views. So I think this does a nice job if we're able to come up with something close to this with respect to the public record. Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't want to this may not be the appropriate time to get totally into the weeds on this, on what did happen and may be happening. I'm not sure what – it's procedurally a little bit odd. But I did want to note, because the draft that Commissioner Walther circulated, I appreciate his efforts, but it does refer to excuse me, the views of three commissioners, and I think I am supposed to be one of those commissioners, and I was not prepared to support this draft, so I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the wording. I'm happy to look at draft Q, or whatever the next draft will be, but I still may have procedural issues with whether there's anything actually before us at this point to answer. I mean, certainly Mr. Trochinski could submit a new advisory opinion request that, you know, and then we'd sort of be back in at the beginning again. And I don't think we would necessarily need 60 days for that since we've been thinking about these issues. But as I understand it right now, he's made a request, and the request, you know, the commission couldn't, sadly, we thought we could, but we couldn't come to an answer on that and told him so. So I think that request is actually concluded. So I'm not sure what this is in response to, you know, unless Mr. Trochinski wants to submit a new request, which, of course, he's welcome to do at any time.
I think, you know, certainly he could submit another request. But as you know, this also has some unusual background on this request, because he originally submitted a very long time ago, and then there was some dispute about whether or not he needed to add a federal candidate. So he's already been kind of dealing with the FEC now for months and months. I can't remember the exact timing. But for that reason, that was another reason that I just didn't want to direct him to send another advisory opinion request, because of the background of this, and because in theory we could take an additional 60 days and then come back and say we're at the very same spot. And I didn't think that was really appropriate or fair, especially under these circumstances. With respect to the procedural issue, you know, as we discussed just a few hours ago in the Democrat Senatorial Campaign Committee request for modification of a conciliation agreement, if there are four votes, my opinion is that if there are four votes to issue a new advisory opinion, then that's something that is appropriate to do. Any other questions or comments? Commissioner Bowerly?
We're obviously not going to resolve this today, but I suppose we can always say if there are four commissioners to do something, you can do something. But as, you know, I think as Mr. Elias pointed out and as the counsel's office noted, in this instance, in the instance of what happened in the DSCC, we don't have any I don't know if the commission ever thought it would need a regulation to say, what do you do when a CA sort of is no longer relevant or the law changes, so we don't have anything in place. We actually do have some fairly specific regulations on advisory opinions, including ones that says we can't just issue them on our own, that they have to be in response to the provisions about how you request it and the timing and all of that. So I think in this area, I would caution us when we do have specific regulations. It's a different thing to say when we are faced with a very unique situation or something that the regulations or the law doesn't address and we don't have a policy on it. I would hope we would be nimble enough to figure out a way to get to a solution. But here, I think it's not quite the same situation to say, you know, four votes can do anything. I mean, that's sort of generally true about everything in this building, but it's not, you know, I think that's an overgeneralization. So I think, you know, we'll have to see where this goes, and obviously we're not going to decide it today, but I'm not sure what we would be deciding, because I think a motion for reconsideration would be out of order under the regulations, and, you know, if, you know, again, I agree with the vice chair, however, though, that if the requester wanted to resubmit, you know, of course, we're happy to hear anything he might have to say, so.
Commissioner Walther?
I understand this is breaking a little bit new ground, as I understand it, and the Office of General Counsel has given an opinion that a motion for reconsideration would be out of order. Am I correct on that?
Having said that,
based on what I tell you, as I see it, it's not a motion to reconsider the merits, but it's akin to some way to clarify the record on where we've been, or something along that line. Now, we could go the route of asking him to issue a new request, but it really wouldn't be for an advisory opinion, as I see it, because he already knows, he's been through the drill on that, and this is really an effort to try and provide a service to a client or maybe others, you know, who might want to read about this issue. They'll know specifically without having to go to the record and see the certificate of who voted for what and try and find out, well, is that really valid? What did D mean to E? And, you know, where are we? I don't think it would be very easy, except for some election law expert, to really understand where we were. It seemed to me that this procedure might be a service to those that want to find out, you know, what we did, if anybody ever really wants to know that. By providing this kind of a document. So if we want to do that without trying to break new rules, do you have a suggestion to maybe ask you before we convene again to think about a procedure? I mean, certainly we can issue guidance on where we are aside from this procedure. That's one thing. We could ask him if he could waive the statute nunc pro tunc and consider this to be still in effect, I suppose, or your letter would be withdrawn based upon something further. If the letter that you send is what really closes it out, whether or not there could be some procedure to withdraw that to allow a clarification document to be filed, or whatever we want to call this. I'm just raising some thoughts with you on how to then consider how to get it done without trying to as Commissioner Bowerly says, just do four votes and just do it.
I think, Commissioner, there are procedural mechanisms that would permit the route that you have in mind going down. I don't think a motion for reconsideration is such a route, but I do think that there are other routes, and I think the two most viable paths are the ones that you mentioned. One would be, as the vice chair says, to have Mr. Torchinsky request a new opinion. He certainly is free to do that. The commission is free to issue guidance if it chooses to do so, which is another possible pathway that would get to that result. And I'm happy to think about it some more as well.
I mean, as I alluded to earlier, well, first, I suppose the cleanest way of doing it is for him to submit another request, and maybe he does so after he sees the new draft. If that's something along the lines of what he's looking for, then that would probably be the cleanest and easiest way of dealing with this. But I think, Commissioner Bowerly, I think you said something along the lines of we can't just on our own come up with a motion to reconsider. My reading of the reg at issue here, 112-6, doesn't say anything about what we would do in a circumstance not covered by the specific reading of the reg. The reg says that the commission may reconsider an advisory opinion previously issued if the person to whom the opinion was issued submits a written request for reconsideration within 30 calendar days of receipt of the opinion, and if, upon the motion of a commissioner who voted with the majority that originally approved the opinion, the commission adopts the motion to reconsider by the affirmative vote of four members. So we're not dealing with this situation because we did not issue an advisory opinion to him. So to me, if we're able to change our mind on something that had four votes at one point, then surely we can change our mind on something that only had three votes. This to me is, you know, sort of less. What we're doing here is sort of less than what this reg calls for. And nothing in the reg says that this is the only way of doing it. And there are many circumstances where there's not a specific, my view is if there's not a reg on the book, then it means you can do whatever you want. If there's a reg prohibiting it, then that's different. And this reg does not prohibit what we're talking about today. Commissioner Bowerly.
As we continue to think about this, I would point you to 112.14F that says no opinion of an advisory nature may be issued by the commission or any of its employees except in accordance with 11 CFR 112, which are the rules about when you submit a request and when you how much time the commission has to consider and the timing for comment and all of those. So I think this actually says we can't do this, but that's my reading of the reg, and I think you got to fit them together. And this one, yes, we have something specific when there's been an opinion issued, but we have another one that says we can issue it outside of those specific regulations.
Madam Vice Chair.
Just a little bit on why we couldn't get to the strip down. Yes, they're... And, you know, maybe there's something in the works that will that four commissioners or more will agree on in the future. I'm not sure because I haven't been in those conversations. But I think that there was a misperception, perhaps, that the problem was that we all thought the answer was yes, but for different reasons. And I think that that's not quite what was going on. Three commissioners, I believe, but certainly me, let me just speak for me, I thought the answer was yes, but only under certain circumstances. And if not under those circumstances, then the answer would be no. That's not yes for a different reason. That's yes under different circumstances and under more limited circumstances. So that's why it was difficult to say I was unwilling to say yes, to sign on something that just said yes, because that would be an open-ended yes under all circumstances, and I didn't think the answer was yes under all circumstances. And that's, you know, in the past, the commission has had various ways of dealing with, you know, this sort of thing has come up before. Sometimes the commissioners who are in favor of the broader view will agree to a narrower answer and then write separately and say, well, of course we thought the narrower view was okay because we think the broader view is okay, then this is just a subset. But that didn't work. And I understand why. And another way that some requesters have helped the commission to get over the hump when people were kind of starting out in different places was sometimes requesters craft their request to kind of make it easier for us, say, okay, we understand certain commissioners have issues. We will try and address those issues. Whether we are, you know, whether we concede that we are required to address those issues is not the point, but rather we're just trying to make it easy for commissioners to agree that under these circumstances the answer could be yes. So I mentioned that only to put it out there in case Mr. Torchinsky and Mr. Bays, not suggesting that they should or would, but in case they read the more limited answer and said, well, I could live with that if they wanted to ask that question. That obviously would be an easier one to get agreement on because under those circumstances, I think everyone would agree. But that's obviously entirely up to the requester. They get to frame their requests any way they want to.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to briefly address the issue about the procedural posture that we find ourselves in. As I read 112.6, before I even go into that, I mean, ultimately the Commission, we issue these rules. Many of these procedural steps, there are procedural steps in the statute. The reconsideration procedure is not in the statute. That is something that the Commission has developed on its own. We get to, you know, basically interpret our own rules, and there's a boatload of case law giving great deference to a Commission's ability to interpret its own rules. And to my mind, I see no problem with interpreting 112.6 to reach not only advisory opinions issued, but addressing it situations where an advisory opinion request has been resolved through the issuance of a letter saying, you know, we didn't have four votes to issue one. And I would just also point out that just today we granted an extension of a 60-day time limit to Mr. Levy. We asked him to extend the 60-day limit. There's nothing in our rules that say we can do that. Yet we've done that as a matter of course because we get to interpret our own rules. There's also nothing in here that says that the 60-day count. It says within 60 calendar days after receiving an advisory opinion request, the Commission shall issue the requesting person an opinion. It says once we've received the request, it doesn't say when OGC determines the request is complete. So there's a lot of room in the joints here for the Commission to interpret its own rules in a way that makes sense, and I think that that's what is going on here in terms of trying to deal with a situation where there was a resolution of a request that resulted in a 3-3 result.
Thank you. Madam Vice Chair.
It's an interesting analogy to the 60 days, which you're right, we routinely write. That actually is in the statute, the 60-day limit. That's not a product of our regs. It says that in the statute. But I think practically speaking, requesters, you know, if the Commission says, gee, we think we can give you an answer if you give us a little bit more time, requesters generally are willing to do that in the interest of getting an answer. And who's going to sue? Who's going to complain? I don't know who would even have standing to come in and say, oh, you didn't, that advisory opinion is not valid because it's, it was issued more than 60 days. I suppose somebody could complain about conduct by that person or a person in the exact same situation who relied on the advisory opinion, which they then say was improperly issued, but what are the odds that the Commission would actually take that one seriously? I think we'd probably dismiss
that.
That's
covered in the regulation.
So I think that's, you know, that's an interesting analogy. I hear you. I'll think about that. But I do think that it's in part a product of, you know, who's gonna complain if we do it? But it's an interesting question. What's our authority for even asking?
Mr. McGann.
Couple thoughts. First, there's actually a case on point. I think it's out of the Second Circuit regarding who has standing to sue if an AO is not done procedurally correct. It's one of the few times where someone had standing to knock out an AO. Case name eludes me, but it's a weird case in that they weren't really challenging the merits of the AO. The AO wasn't out enough for comment, I think it was. And they were able to basically knock out the AO. They weren't the requester. So it actually has happened. If I'm thinking of the case right, I think it's happened. That's who would complain. When you have something in the Act that says 60 days and the Commission decides it means you can work it out with the requester, if, for example, the Commission would use an AO as a sword against someone and say it articulates the rule and say, well, this AO binds us and it wasn't issued within 60 days, I could see somebody saying, nice try, the Act's in 60 days, you put it within 60 days, the AO doesn't count, I guess. Turning to the matter at hand, what's frustrating for me, and I've said this before, is that AOs are supposed to be deliberated in open meetings. And we've had deliberation on this AO. We had votes, and it went 3-3. And I was certainly left with the impression that, notwithstanding 3-3, there was agreement and that there would be something done on tally vote that would be would capture the common ground. I'm not saying that's what was literally said. I'm saying that's my impression. So I don't want to have this interpreted to mean I'm saying anybody pulled a fast one, but I'm saying that's certainly how what I thought happened. And then once the meeting adjourns, and then we do this tally vote stuff, and I remember the tally votes coming around, but at that point there's really no deliberation. So now we're sitting here, we're saying, well, the reg doesn't really let you consider this motion to reconsider because it's not really reconsidering an AO because there's really no AO. That's kind of cute, but at the end of the day, I think the way to fix this problem is in the future we have this discussion at the table, in the meeting, and make sure everyone understands what's happening in the future, because that's, as you open this discussion, that's the problem, is that we think the requester was led to think one thing. I thought that's what we were doing, and then lo and behold, there wasn't that final draft, or I guess there was enough agreement, and we didn't really have a chance to deliberate that. And now it's already closed. We can't reconsider anything. The transmittal letter that goes out, I don't think the commission approves that, right? I mean, it's left at the table, and then OGC, I assume, sends a letter that says we couldn't reach an agreement. But that's not approved by the commission. What happens sometimes is the commission may instruct counsel to do a letter that does this or that. But in this case, it didn't happen because this was kind of left for another day to be done, not at an open meeting, but on tally vote, and then that just didn't quite work out to the satisfaction of a lot of us. So going forward, I've said this before and I'll say it again, we should do this in an open meeting, and it avoids this sort of situation where now we're in a situation where even though the requester says, gee, do you really mean to do this? We're being told by some we can't even really discuss it because, well, the matter's closed because, well, there's not an AO, so therefore he can't reconsider the AO. That really doesn't help decide what the reg means or what the reg doesn't mean, but I at least want to put on the record that we're in a weird situation, not because the reg doesn't squarely fit. It was caused by how the last meeting was left because I think, and it's not just me, I think many of us came away thinking that this was going to work itself out, unfortunately, behind closed doors. And once the door is closed, there's no way to really know what happened or didn't happen, which is why this stuff should be done in an open meeting.
Commissioner Bowerly, when you cited the reg that you wanted us to consider, did you say 112.1F?
112.6F?
1.4F.
112.4.
I'll take another look at it, but I'm not sure. Okay. Any other questions or comments on this? So if I'm the requester, I'm pretty confused, but we'll see how this transpires. We'll put hopefully yet another draft on the public record in the very near future, and we'll hear hopefully comments from the requester. Anything else? All righty.